You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the Psychology of Hope. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on The Psychology of Hope. You can get there from here by C.R. Snyder. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. At some point in our evolution, we humans were able to generate mental representations of ourselves and the world around us. We also developed a linear sense of time in which, roughly speaking, there was a past, a present, and a future. We came to think of ourselves as travelers moving through time, going somewhere. We were not just going anywhere, however. We gave careful thought to where we wanted to go. These thoughts, of course, were about goals. Humanity's earliest goals were basic and centered, perhaps, on shelter or food. Whatever the goal, we began to think of ourselves as moving toward the achievement of those goals, and our species succeeded in the grand survival game. Just as our ancestors did, today we think about getting from where we are now, let's call it point A, to where we want to go, say point B. In this context, point B stands for any of the many goals we may envision ourselves wanting to pursue. In aiming at goals, we are constantly engaging in mental target practice. At the risk of appearing overly simplistic, I believe that life is made up of thousands and thousands of instances in which we think about and navigate from point A to point B. This is the basic premise on which my model of hope is built. Indeed, it is the reason this book is subtitled, You Can Get There from Here, end quote. That is C.R. or Rick Snyder from The Psychology of Hope. Rick Snyder was the founder of research into the science of hope, and he was one of the pioneers of the positive psychology movement. In fact, he literally wrote the textbook on positive psychology. He actually wrote that textbook with one of his protégés, Shane Lopez. We featured Shane's wisdom on hope in his great book called Making Hope Happen. In fact, I got The Psychology of Hope after Shane referenced it. It's been sitting on my shelf winking at me and begging me to read it. Side note, as I read the book, which was written in 1994, I was hoping that Rick was still alive so I could interview him and thank him. As soon as I finished, I hopped online to learn, unfortunately, that Rick passed away in 2006 at 62 years old after suffering for 15 years from an undiagnosed condition. My heart sank as I read the news and then read Shane's eulogy. I beamed Rick and his spirit love and gratitude, reflected on the fact that I'll be 62 in less than 20 years, and then booked my next blood draw on Wellness FX so I can continue to optimize my thankfully already very good health, and hopefully A, continue to find some tips and practices that I can share with you, and B, be around for longer than 20 years to celebrate and create with you. With that, back to the book. It's a very thorough analysis of what hope is. Rick walks us through the three key facets of hope: goals plus willpower plus way power. Why it matters, how it's developed from infancy to adulthood, how we can lose it, and most importantly, how we can optimize it. As always, we'll focus on the super practical side of things, starting with a quick look at what hope is, and then we'll have some fun seeing how we can optimize it today. I hope you love it. P.S. After finishing the draft of that introduction, I started writing a note to Shane. I felt even more inspired to interview him and thank him for his work in continuing Rick's legacy. After drafting the note, I went online to get a link for the PNTV episode I'd done on his book to find out that he had also passed away at 46 years old. And it appears that Shane had been suffering from depression for a couple of years and ended his own life. I'm currently still wrapping my heart and brain around the fact that the leading scholar on hope killed himself. It's a heart-opening and catalyzing for me for many reasons. We'll chat about that more in another context. Little PPS, this is officially the longest intro ever, but one more note. I drafted the above intro the day before an historically large fire swept through Southern California, nearly engulfing our little town of Ojai and forcing my family and a ton of other people to evacuate our house. The fire is still burning north of us a week later as I typed this, and the air quality is too bad for our kids to come back, so we're about to head out on a little vacation. I'm typing this in my office, now recording it in my office, with four HEPA filters keeping the air pure. Seems fitting to be working on this note on hope. And if you do happen to hear a little hum in the background, that would be a HEPA filter. I decided to keep that on. With that, let's jump in. First big idea, new hope. What is it? Quote, hope is the sum of the mental willpower and way power that you have for your goals. To understand this definition, I break it down into three basic mental components: goals, willpower, and way power. End quote. Let's start with the definition of hope. Actually, let's start with the fact that Rick came up with the definition of hope. It's easy to take it for granted and say, yeah, that makes sense. But we want to remember that someone spent a lot of time and life force trying to wrap their brains around how to clearly articulate a conceptual definition of an idea, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why I don't speed read. It's also why I like to read books rather than blog posts. When I sit down to read a book, I try to imagine the fact that the author has spent years or decades focused on the topic. I feel like I get to sit down and spend a day with them exploring their best thinking. And I don't like to rush time with friends. I like to go deep. So, the definition of hope that Rick Schneider came up with after his painstaking years of work, hope is the sum of the mental willpower and way power that you have for your goals. Quick breakdown. Hope has three components: goals plus willpower plus way power. Note, there's a pop quiz coming up on those three items. First, you need to have goals. You need to have a target at which you're aiming. It needs to be challenging and doable. So, what do you want to see in your life? High hope people have goals. Rick says, quote, neither a goal you have no chance of obtaining nor one you are absolutely certain of meeting is part of hope as I am defining it. Why? If the probabilities of getting your desired goal are truly 0% or 100%, the outcomes are so overdetermined that hopeful thoughts are irrelevant. My conclusion, therefore, is that the goals involving hope fall somewhere between an impossibility and a sure thing. Of course, there are a lot of goals in this range. End quote. Second, you need to have what Rick calls willpower. It's that spark of belief in yourself and your ability to bring that goal to life. High hope people have strong willpower. Rick says, quote, willpower is the driving force in hopeful thinking. It is the sense of mental energy that propels the person toward the goal. Willpower, as I use this term, is a reservoir of determination and commitment that we can call on to help move us in the direction of the goal to which we are attending at any given moment. End quote. Then, step three, you need to have what Rick calls way power. You need to have that clear goal plus that spark of, I can do this, and you need to know that you will run into obstacles that will require you to create multiple pathways to achieve your goals. That's way power. Rick says, quote, way power reflects the mental plans or roadmaps that guide hopeful thought. Way power is a mental capacity we can call on to find one or more effective ways to reach our goals. That is to say, the perception that one can engage in planful thought is essential for way power thinking, end quote. So, again, hope has three components: goals plus willpower plus way power. You need to know what you want, believe you can get it, and be willing to explore different ways to get from here to there. Rick's protege Shane Lopez said the same thing in a slightly different way in his book, written 20 years after this book. He said that hope has these three components: goals plus agency, or the belief you can make your dreams happen, plus pathways, the willingness to go from A to Z. Goals plus willpower plus way power, or goals plus agency plus pathways. However you want to frame it, it's good to keep those three elements in mind, and it's equally important to move from the theory of these ideas to the practice of them. As always, we can't be mere librarians cataloging interesting ideas. We must be warriors of the mind, rigorously and vigorously practicing this stuff, especially when we don't feel like it. P.S., the pop quiz I promised, what are the three facets of hope? Think about that. and make it stick by challenging yourself to write them down in your own words, explain them to someone today, and perhaps most importantly, check in on each of the elements as they relate to an important goal. Next big idea, high hope people. Quote, now that we have explored sufficiently the components of hope, we can put them together. Simply put, hope reflects a mental set in which we have the perceived willpower and the way power to get to our destination. For my purposes, I like to slightly alter the saying, where there is a will, there is a way. People who have the personal sense of willpower typically should have the accompanying way power thoughts, pathways to their goals, but sometimes they may not. Indeed, our research consistently has supported this latter supposition in that persons with willpower thinking may not have way power thoughts. If the person does not have both the willpower and way power for goals, there cannot be high hope. Put another way, neither willpower nor way power alone is sufficient to produce high hope. End quote. So, we now know the three elements of hope. Let's recognize the fact that it's possible to be high on the willpower side of things and weak on the way power, or vice versa. We need all three humming to feel hope and all its benefits, which are enormous. So, let's do a quick inventory. What's an important, meaningful, challenging, and doable goal for you right now? Note, not having that would be in itself a red flag for hope. All right, write that down. Now, do you believe you can achieve it? How's your willpower, spark of determination strong? 1 to 10, how are you doing there? If it's low, do you need to adjust your goal so it really feels doable? Or do you need to tend the fire a bit more? Now, how's your way power? If you're feeling stuck, one of the best ways to optimize your hope is to step back and see the multiple pathways you can take to achieve your goals. When I journal, as I demonstrated in Journaling 101, I like to draw my mountain and its peak, then draw multiple arrows around the mountain up to the peak to represent all the ways I can get there. All right, so before we move on to some more details, here's one more look at the high hope person. Rick says, quote, high hope people operate with several goals in their differing life arenas, and they typically set difficult goals for themselves. Our studies show they embrace their goals and view them as welcome challenges that are a normal part of life. High hope people use their goals as mental touchstones for success. They go after their goals and think they will obtain them. In short, high hope people are bullish investors in life goals, and they expect to obtain excellent returns on their mental investments. Low hope people, on the other hand, appear to be used by life goals. They are bearish investors who do not actively pursue goals and are more concerned with protecting themselves from losses. End quote. Let's be bullish investors in our lives and our goals. Here's how to invest wisely. Next big idea, goals. Quote, modern culture sends an implicit message that is a combination of don't worry, be happy, and feel good about yourself. This seductive self-esteem theme leaves us both wondering and wandering. We wonder how we can find the elusive happiness and esteem and wander around trying to find them. If you are looking for happiness and esteem, you will not find them listed under their own names. You are more likely to find these if you look under goals. In fact, happier and high self-esteem people are the ones who have concrete and challenging goals in their lives. The philosopher Nietzsche came to a similar conclusion many years ago when he wrote, Formula of my happiness, a yes, a no, a straight line, a goal. End quote. That's from a chapter on how to kindle hope, from which we'll be pulling our next ideas. Want more happiness and self-esteem? Flip to the section of Optimal Living 101 labeled Goals. As Sonia Lyubomirsky says in The How of Happiness, working toward a meaningful life goal is one of the most important strategies for becoming lastingly happier. Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi tells us that goals are essential to get into flow. He says, quote, the optimal state of inner experience is one in which there is order in consciousness. This happens when psychic energy or attention is invested in realistic goals and when skills match the opportunities for action. The pursuit of a goal brings order in awareness because a person must concentrate attention on the task at hand and momentarily forget everything else. These periods of struggling to overcome challenges are what people find to be the most enjoyable of their lives. A person who has achieved control over psychic energy and has invested it in consciously chosen goals cannot help but grow into a more complex being. By stretching skills, by reaching toward higher challenges, such a person becomes an increasingly extraordinary individual. End quote. Sign me up. And of course, ancient philosophers agree. The Greeks told us we are teleological or teleological. Telos or telos equals ends or targets or goals. We need to be aiming at something. Okay, so we need goals. Got it. Tell me how to rock it, please. Okay, Rick gives these tips. First, we need to focus on authoring your own decisions. You need to let go of the shoulds and focus on what you really want. That leads to a sense of autonomy, which all the research says is super important. And recall that to be authentic means to be the author of your own life. Then Rick tells us to go goal shopping and walks us through an exercise in which we write down all the goals we'd like to achieve in all areas of our lives across all time frames. Then we identify the ones that really fire us up and focus our energy on them. Our big three framework of energy plus family plus service is helpful as a categorization method here. Then he tells us to control attention robbers. In other words, reduce your distractions so you can focus your energy on what's truly important. Then he tells us to make sure we're setting challenging yet doable goals. He describes the science of goal stretching. He tells us, quote, goals should not be so far beyond your reach that you are unlikely to attain them. Conversely, goals should not be so easy that you are certain to meet them. In fact, research shows that people believe hopeful goals should involve roughly a 50% probability of attainment. Be careful not to set your goals at such an easy level, however, that you become bored or disinterested. Likewise, avoid making goals so difficult that you or anyone else would be unlikely to achieve them. This can be as deflating to hopeful thinking as the setting of exceedingly easy goals. End quote. So, goals checklist, what's on the top of your authentic list? How are you eliminating distractions? And are you focused on stretching and not snapping? Good. Carry on. As we carry on to the next big idea, willpower barrier beaters. Quote, one common low willpower reaction to impediments involves a surprise thought such as, oh my God, this can't be happening. This sort of thought propels the person into an aversive emotional turmoil. If you find yourself constantly being surprised by the barriers you encounter, realize that life throws impediments in all of our paths. So don't wallow in self-pity and assume that you alone come on such obstacles. Such self-talk as, okay, this happens to everyone. I'm not the only person to run into this roadblock. And other such consensus-raising statements can be very helpful. End quote. So guess what? On the path to a challenging yet doable goal, we will face obstacles. Period. That's a given. So let's quit acting surprised when they show up. And this is precisely why I pay to run obstacle courses and why Spartan races are my sport hobby. I like to remind myself that obstacles make me stronger. Ohms. Every morning and all day, every day as I train for these races. Expect the obstacles. See them as reverse indicators. Not signs that something's wrong, but signs that something's right. Specifically, that you are out of your comfort zone getting better. No, you're not alone, common humanity style. Love the obstacles, Byron Katie style, and practice the art of acquiescence, Stoic style, as you use them to get better, anti-fragile style. Repeat. And, of course, sometimes we bump our heads against a goal enough times to realize it's time to re-goal, as Rick puts it. Stepping back, learning the lessons, and setting new, meaningful, challenging, doable goals without losing our confidence and mojo. Next big idea, way power. Quote, you can have the most specific of goals, as well as the willful determination to reach those goals, and still be stuck. For example, have you been experiencing a sense of frustration lately? Do you feel blocked? If you dissect those feelings, you may be mentally up to pursue something, yet unable to think of ways to get there. Perhaps you came up with one idea about getting to your goal, but found it didn't work. Therefore, you are doubtful about coming up with any other ways to achieve your coveted goal. Maybe you are surprised with how poorly things are turning out because of your inability to plan. Do any of these statements describe you recently? Or are you like this a lot of the time? What is called for in these situations is enhanced way power thinking. You need to believe in your capacity to generate one or more routes to your goals. End quote. Do you start fired up with a clear goal, then kind of sort of give up when the first plan doesn't work? Might be time to optimize the way power. Rick tells us about one way to do that called stepping, which is basically our domino strategy of breaking the big goal down into micro doable goals. He also talks about something called multiple routing that reminds me of the optionality facet of being anti-fragile. If you only have one way to get to your goal, you're fragile. Two, a little more robust. Three, getting stronger. Infinite pathways, anti-fragile. Practically speaking, whenever I set goals and do planning on a high or micro level, I always write down three potential paths to remind myself that I'm not attached to any one path and that I'm willing to go from plan A to plan B to plan C to plan AA to plan ZZZ. Knowing you're ready to do whatever it takes for however long it takes creates a certain level of anti-fragile confidence. Can you see multiple pathways to your goal? If so, right on. If not, get on that and right on. On to the next and final big idea. Time travelers making a difference. Quote, each of us stands in a long evolutionary line. Looking back, we honor the memories of our ancestors. Looking forward, we have an unknown and yet undeniable impact on our descendants. Individually and collectively, we are time travelers who, for better or worse, are making a difference in what happens next. The link between what was and what might be rests in our thoughts today. If our minds are filled with willpower and way power for goals, profiting only ourselves and not others, we advance the forces of unhappiness, divisiveness, fear, aggression, and destruction. If our minds are filled with hope for shared goals, however, our legacy will be a positive one. The changes necessary for this latter scenario are not easy, but they are doable. It is our choice, and the decision will be made in the most powerful polling booth of all, the human mind. My vote, for what it's worth, is that we can get there from here. End quote. Those are the very last words of the book, and I always love to focus on the last words because I know the author was especially thoughtful about how they wrap up a big chunk of their life's work. And of course, I second Rick's vote. Let's become time travelers making a difference, optimizing our lives so we can actualize our potential and give our greatest gifts in greatest service to the world. I'm sending love and hope and tenacious commitment to our fundamentals, to you and your family. That is a very quick look at this great book, The Psychology of Hope. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, I think you'll enjoy the notes on making hope happen, succeed, the how of happiness, flow, happiness, happier, and flourish in our whole positive psychology collection. And again, we got to remember, we can't just be librarians of these ideas. We've got to be warriors of our minds. Let's look at some quotes from the sidebar, and then we'll wrap it up. First, we have Henry David Thoreau, who tells us, I learned this, at least by my experiment, that if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live that life which he has imagined, he will meet with success unexpected in common hours. If you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That is where they should be. Now, put the foundations under them. Rick tells us, hope is the sum of the mental willpower and way power that you have for your goals. He also tells us, if you are balking at my suggestion about clearly defining goals, your vague goals may be contributing to a pattern of low hope thinking. Remember that clear goals at least set the stage for successful goal attainment. Vague goals, on the other hand, typically preclude any such sense of attainment. Rick tells us, by thinking of some recent event in your life where you succeeded in pursuit of a goal, your state hope should increase. And he says, even though high hope people are goal-directed, they enjoy the process of getting there as much as the actual arrival. This is one of the seeming paradoxes I initially had difficulty disentangling when talking with high hope people. Goals certainly capture the attention of high hope people, But this largely seems to be true because such goals offer a marker for progress or mastery occurring along the way. Rick says, to turn a twist on an old saying, when the going gets tough, the hopeful keep going. And finally, we have something great from Shel Silverstein. He says, listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to the shouldn'ts, the impossibles, the won'ts. Listen to the never haves, then listen close to me. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be. There you go, the psychology of hope. Goals, willpower, way power. Here's to optimizing your process as you take a ton of consistent, diligent, patient action with an emphasis on your fundamentals. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this philosopher's note. Please go to optimize.me to download more.